Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. 50 minutes every afternoon, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. This afternoon, Maura Noonan will be joining us. Maura, who joins us on a frequent basis, she will be talking about spiritual deception, the many things that we can get into out there, unfortunately, and a priest friend of hers who was active in her ministry as well will be joining her for the conversation. So we'll be doing that coming up in a moment. Also later on, we will be joined by another representative of the Church of the Nativity up in Timonium, Maryland. Of course, these guys are the epicenter of rebuilt and the many rebuilt items that have come out since the release of the first book. Father Michael White has been our guest for the past few weeks, and we'll be talking this afternoon with another member of his ministry team, and Stephanie Downs is her name, so we'll find out what this series on humility is all about and what her role is there at the Church of the Nativity, and hopefully how we can learn to walk through Lent a little bit more with her perspective on things. All of that and more this afternoon. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Maura Noonan joins us this afternoon. Maura, a frequent guest of the show. Maura, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Good.
And Father Dennis Seneff along with you as well. And you and Father, I guess, have done retreat work and things of that nature. Is that what I understand?
Right.
We've Correct.
Year of Mercy. We have a Year of Mercy, Divine Mercy retreat that we're doing all over North America.
Terrific. So, and you've got more of these dates, obviously, coming up through the Year of Mercy.
We do. We'd love to bring it to Lexington.
There you go. Well, I can do absolutely nothing about that, but we'll see, we'll see what we can do. That sounds great. So, you want to talk about the Year of Mercy? Is that what we're talking about this afternoon, or where are we going?
Sure. Year of Mercy is good.
All right.
And the retreat and anything to do with mercy.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, you want to take it away?
Well, as everybody should know by now, our Pope has called for a extraordinary jubilee year of divine mercy with an emphasis on the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy. So my take on it has been to try and manifest the mercy of the Lord in ministry. And that basically means doing what Jesus did so profoundly, and that was to set the captives free.
Hmm.
So a lot of people are captive to New Age things, to addictions, to all kinds of deceptions.
Pornography.
To the pornography thing. And so what we do is teach the gospel message of freedom and then minister to people and break those strongholds that they experience in their lives. So that's one way to do mercy. It's kind of a counseling the doubtful and instructing the ignorant. And we have penitential services or reconciliation services and pray for the healing of the soul that's so wounded by anger and bitterness and resentment and negativity and all that kind of thing. So people do experience a lot of freedom, and that's what Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. So that's my approach to the Year of Mercy, at least at this time.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, have you seen, I mean, I'm guessing you had to have seen some pretty dramatic turnarounds with individuals just being able to embrace mercy maybe for the first time in their hearts, right? That's got to be spectacular.
Well, yeah, it is. Sometimes they'll just jump out of their chair and start screaming, I'm free, I'm free, at last I'm free, from things that have bothered them for years and years and years.
Wow.
So it's a ministry that really manifests the everlasting kindness of God, what we call mercy in the Bible. And it's a merciful God who wants to set his children free who are badly wounded by original sin and all the other stuff that goes with it. So that's basically what we do for a weekend, and it's very consoling because so many people experience freedom. Everyone experiences some freedom, but some experience it even more than others. Things that have chained them down for a long time.
Wow. Now, Maura, your experience with this, typically you've discovered that there's some sort of attachment, unfortunately, that can happen just kind of by us being willing to participate with things that we don't necessarily need to be participating in, right?
Right. Yeah, we just, well, one of the things that I was reading about in preparation for the, we're about to leave for Phoenix to go do the retreat over there, and I was reading about Ted Bundy. Does anybody remember him?
No,
he was
sure,
that
of course,
mass serial killer.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy, and in our culture, American culture, was, what, about 20 years ago?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, at least. And he had walked into one sorority in Tallahassee, Florida, University of Florida, and he went into the sorority, and he killed four girls, and he went in to kill the fifth. And he didn't kill her. He instead, he dropped his knife and ran out of her room. And so later on, they had the police asked a Catholic Monsignor from the town to come and to talk to him and talk to the girl. And he was later executed. But he talked to the girl that wasn't killed, the college student, and she said, well, my mother told me before I went away to college to pray the rosary every night for protection before I went to bed. And if I fell asleep, it's okay, just hold it. Hold a blessed rosary. So she had fallen asleep and was woken up by this serial killer, was unaware that her sorority sisters were just murdered, and she was holding the rosary, and he ran out, and she was protected, completely protected. Now that's mercy, Mother of Mercy. That's tremendous mercy. And so she told the Monsignor this. Well, now later on, before this guy got executed, another 10 years later, when they finally, you know, after 10 years of jail and figured out the whole thing, how many people, they said he had murdered hundreds and hundreds of people. They asked him what really happened to him because he was raised in a typical American family. He had gone to college and law school and was, you know, a accomplished, educated young male in American society, and they asked him what went wrong with you, and he said that he got addicted to pornography, and he said almost everyone that he personally met in jail that was addicted to pornography became violent and got addicted to violence. And then the Monsignor asked him, well, what happened with that one girl back in the sorority 10 years ago? Why you didn't, you know, kill her too? And he said he didn't know, but the minute he walked in the room, he had to leave immediately. There was something in there that shoved him out.
Wow.
So that's mercy.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's powerful.
It is powerful. God's mercy is powerful. And he's telling St. Faustina in her diary that we don't even ask him very much. We, you know, we go to the ocean with a teaspoon instead of with, you know, a big bathtub or a big yacht, and say, hey, fill us up, Lord. Your mercy is infinite. And we he says, the more a soul trusts, the more they will receive. He says, it's to Sister St. Faustina, souls that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me because I pour all treasures of my graces unto them. How's that for cool? We just have to remember to do that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we forget, right? We don't trust.
Forget.
We don't trust right. like we should.
We wallow around in self-pity or whatever our own, self-made human miseries are, and we forget, hey, wait a minute. We have a vessel of mercy to go to. That's half the reason we do the retreat, to remind everybody and to show them how to do it.
Amen.
How to go to that mercy.
Maura Noonan with us this afternoon. Spirit Battle for Souls is her website.
.org. Yeah.
Thank you. SpiritBattleForSouls.org. And Father Dennis Sanoff with us as well. And Father, you have you encountered something that's maybe more difficult to crack if somebody's into something like what Maura was just talking about with maybe years of porn addiction? I mean, is that tougher than somebody who's just got had challenged relationship issues? I mean, is there something that's more difficult?
Addictions are very difficult, and I think, like, I hear confessions just about every day when I'm home, well, on these retreats too, and not to reveal anything in the sacrament of reconciliation, but I can say that more and more people are addicted, and they keep coming back over and over again to confess that the sin they addicted to the pornography it's so available now on the internet and on the phones and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one that really got to me was a 14-year-old was totally addicted, and I had to send him to professional counselors because he needed more than just deliverance prayer and inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
He needed long term help, and it's ruining his young life. It's going to be hard for him to establish good, healthy relationships with women, because his attitude towards them now is just so, well, it's just so sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that awakened me more and more to the need to pray for people to become free, and to I just don't know. It's. I call it the new kid on the block, and it really is the new kid on the block. It's something I didn't hear even 10 years ago. You hear
sure.
a little bit, but
yeah.
nothing like today. Just about everybody now, and male and female and boys and girls. It's like it's just like the hell opened up, and the devil spewed out his venomous poison.
Mm.
And so we really need to, it's so bad that I read an article that said that Playboy wasn't even going to be photographing women anymore.
Exactly.
There's no money in it.
Yeah. That's passé.
That?
I did indeed, Father. Yeah. Nobody cares about that anymore. There's so many other sources, and that is
exactly.
completely passé. Yeah. Well,
so that is one of the difficult areas of ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, and
all
so
people there.
And sometimes, like you say, you actually have to refer someone on to some sort of treatment because this has affected them enough that, yes, sacramental healing is a wonderful step, but they really need a process to process themselves out of this.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're running close on time here, and Maura, so does Father have resources on your site as well, or is there another spot for that?
Father's contributed. He's one of the authors that contributed to my new book, Spiritual Deception,
okay.
A Comprehensive Guide to Discernment, which everyone can get at spiritdaily.com or spiritbattleforsouls.org or spiritdaily.org.
Okay.
Or they could call Ave Maria Center, Canada, at 1-800-663-MARY and get it there by sending a check or however they want to do it. If they don't want to do internet and credit card and worry about identity theft, no problem. 1-800-663-MARY, M-A-R-Y, to get the new books. Ransom from Darkness is my first book, and then Spiritual Deceptions is the book that Father John Hamps and Father Dennis has contributed, as well as Father Gabriel Amorth and different priests. It's really a few exorcisms. It's a very powerful book for discernment.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more and more in Noonan with us this afternoon. And Father Dennis Sanoff will be back in just a moment. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.
Mm-hmm. Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Maura Noonan joining us this afternoon. Father Dennis Sinoff, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the Year of Mercy. You guys are out there on retreats and encountering individuals one-to-one in these, with, I think, what is a tremendous opportunity, obviously, to break free of some of these things that have just challenged sometimes for such a long, long time. And Father, just we were talking about some of these things that are very difficult because of the complexity and unfortunate, just real challenge that some of these addiction issues really are. What about some of the things that the people are bombarded with that they don't even realize? I'm sure that there's got to be some of those, right, where they're not even aware that they're affected by something.
That's very true. I'll give you just an incident, recent one. A young mother is going to have a baby, and she emailed me to say that she's very oppressed, and that's not normal for her and for her husband, and then they have a little five-year-old, and for months now they've been experiencing darkness and oppression and confusion, and so as we went a little deeper, it just so happened that the lady that was going to help her in having the birth of the next child happened to be practicing Reiki, some form of energy field healing.
Right.
And she made the connection that even though she had never been actually prayed with by this lady, just the presence of that lady, and even at a distance, she was experiencing this oppression.
Wow.
So then they had to start in their home a lot of prayers and blessing the home and using holy water and blessed candles. And even then, with her husband praying with her for some time, it was hardly broke the oppression that was coming upon her. But the more we pray now, the more that they look to spiritual solutions, the more they realize that, well, the more they're becoming free, but the more they realize that people can actually be influenced by other people who are into these dark practices and who, in fact, can even bring negative or curses or things upon a family. And so it was an eye-opener for me again, and Maura's quite familiar with these kind of things, and I am getting more familiar with them, and many priests today are wondering, well, what do we do when this kind of thing happens, you know? So that happens more frequently than one would suspect.
Wow. And again, it's almost, there's not even a real awareness of the individual of what could be the problem. They just know that there's something that seems oppressive in their life.
That's right.
Wow.
Leo, she wanted a home birth, so she's a Catholic family, they got a Catholic midwife, but the midwife apparently had been contacted by someone who's a doula, a D-O-U-L-A. A doula is like an apprentice to a midwife, and I don't think anybody checked her out very carefully, but she was a complete new ager, or practicing, occult practices, and wanting to come into the Christian home and be present at a birth. So that's a very intimate setting, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
she has access to, a birth of a child, and the woman hasn't even given birth yet, and she's feeling the oppression as just pregnancy because she allowed this doula to come into her house to interview her. So it's just very, very strange.
And just one example, but, you know, there's we do have to pray for protection. We have to pray to St. Michael the Archangel, pray prayers of protection, consecrate our homes to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Divine Mercy image, and ask for protection. We're in a spiritual battle. And I think a lot of people simply don't realize that, and they wonder, well, why am I feeling so negative, so oppressed, so discouraged? And it may not be them. It may be some spiritual forces working against them. And so it's important to, like, for instance, I think Pope Francis is very aware of these things, and he's even established for the third and for the Friday and Saturday before the fourth Sunday of Lent, worldwide, he's asked for the churches to be open for 24 hours for penitential services. So that's happening in a number of churches throughout Canada and the United States. And I think people who know about that should take full advantage of those opportunities to receive the sacrament of reconciliation and prayers for deliverance. And that's not exorcism. It's just deliver us from evil, O Lord. And we receive what we ask for from the Lord when our hearts are pure before him. As Matthew 5 tells us, blessed are the pure of heart. So it's just, you know, we're in a new battle, and it isn't going to get better, and we're going to have to learn to be spiritual warriors, unlike we have been in the last little while in the history of the church. So, yeah.
Well, Father Dennis Sanuff with us this afternoon, also Mara Noonan and SpiritBattleForSouls.org. Find out more about what their ministry is all about when it comes to healing. And, of course, this year of mercy, really bringing mercy to those who are in such dire need of this. And, Mara, also you were talking about this situation with this family. Generational stuff is big as well, right? I mean, we don't even know sometimes where things are coming from, and it could just simply be an unfortunate kind of sin issue that's been around for a while.
Yeah, the door can be opened generationally through people doing things. I've got a family that lives near me, and my good friend is the grandmother on the Polish side, and she and her husband see the grandchildren and give them, you know, a Catholic family to visit. And then on the other side, the grandparents are completely into New Age and witchcraft and everything, so they have a difficulty with the grandchildren because they split time with them, and it's constant work for them to have them over because it takes a while to get them back to normal again. So it's a lot of warfare these days. Culturally speaking, in this world of diversity.
Well, Father, I love what you say about, you know, the purity of heart, and it's easy sometimes for us to say that, and then to live that is quite another challenge in and amid all of the many distractions and temptations that we encounter. But what would be your practical advice for remaining pure? I would say, aside from, in addition to sacramental reconciliation, but what can we do in our daily walk? What are some good things?
Well, we need to walk in the presence of the Lord all day long. And I advise people just to, you know, pray, Lord, give me a pure heart. Like David in Psalm 51, create a new heart in me, O Lord. And sometimes we have to pray that prayer 100 times a day because there's just so many temptations out there and so many attitudes towards men and women that are just not Christian. And we need to ask for that pure heart, and we need to forgive those who, well, those who offend us. Jesus, it says, never took offense, but he certainly was offended. I mean, they plotted his death even a number of times, but he never allowed that to enter his own soul. And so we, too, must be able to pray hard that the Lord help us never take offense and to forgive our enemies and even bless our enemies and even go further, do good for our enemies, which is really a tough Christian message. But if we want to find peace, that's what we have to do. Happiness, you need to work on it all the time if you want to be a happy person. So I would just advise people to pray little prayers, you know, throughout the day. Lord, give me a pure heart. Lord, put a guard on my lips, you know, as the Psalms and the Proverbs tell us. And then the Lord answers those prayers, and we find greater peace.
Yeah. It sounds so simple, but it really is, right?
It is, if you do it.
You've
got to do it.
Yeah, of course.
You've got to practice the faith.
Yeah, that's the thing about virtue, right? You've got to practice virtue. It's got to be a discipline.
Absolutely.
Wow. So So Maura, these intentions of the heart and the challenges there with purity, obviously this is something that you've been dealing with for a long time and written extensively about things of this nature with your writings and your website.
Yes, and we really work on it with this retreat. This retreat is really a practicum for people. Father does a forgiveness service and really helps people get clearing out their heart from any bitterness, anger, resentment from the past, and also to really examine their conscience and to be able to have a free conscience, to embrace the Holy Spirit, and to go forward and not look back.
Yeah. Now, that's got to be
looking back.
That's got to be one of the toughest things, though, right? I mean, we all kind of have these issues of our past. They're very vivid in our minds and our hearts, and to shake free of that. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest challenges out there.
Father, you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, things are hard, and the Christian life is hard. But the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and I can't quite remember the verse, 11, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there, it says, don't say it's too hard. I like that line, because that's when I say to myself, boy, this is hard. And then I remind myself, but it's not too hard, because by the grace of God, we can do all things in Christ. Hmm. And, you know, you can walk on water if you have enough faith.
Wow.
And you can... You can just live in the presence of the Lord, like Brother Lawrence in his practice of the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16 says if you walk in the presence of the Lord, and that means take time to pray and honor him with some of your time and give it to him, then you will have joy. Hmm. I love that line.
Amen.
And I use it often because I think people lack joy today.
Guys, we're out of time, but God bless you. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for being with us. More, we'll talk again soon. SpiritBattleForSouls.org. More to come. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Pretty much post what we talk about over there. Generally speaking, you can also dig deeper into the conversation, as many do, with lots of discussion. Not necessarily debate always. Sometimes it's just good, spirited discussion. That's a good thing. So again, follow me over there, and we'll dig into topics. Happy to do it. With us this afternoon, Stephanie Downs is joining us. She is with the Church of the Nativity up in Timonium, Maryland. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing so well, Leo. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being with us. And you, we've gotten to know many of the Church and the Nativity staff over, be it the radio show or the times here on my show. And so it's good to kind of get to know you guys a little bit more, know what you're doing, because I think we all know that there's something really special happening up at Church and the Nativity. I've been there for Mass. I've actually visited you guys, and you know, coming from an evangelical background as I did, and honestly hating to leave that, right? I mean, it was all I could do to tear myself away from that. I knew I was being called to the Catholic Church. I never left my roots there in the evangelical church with disdain or dissatisfaction. I simply knew that I was called onto something else. But to know that you guys are really kind of taking to heart some of the things that the evangelicals have taught you, I think is impressive, and it's beautiful to see that. And I think it's interesting, your role as director of adult ministry, you're there to kind of help those who are doing ministry, right? I mean, that seems to kind of be a unique role maybe in a parish.
I think it is, particularly in a Catholic parish.
Exactly.
Because of the culture that we grew up with. So, yes, our evangelical brothers and sisters do a great job with getting people involved in the church, getting them excited and making church really part of what they do. When I was growing up Catholic, and a lot of people's Catholic experiences, you know, the church people did the church stuff.
Right. Leave it to them.
And here at Nativity, we have adult ministry, and we invite people to serve on the weekends. And there's so many things that they can do to be a part of the community. And so that's kind of what I do, Leo. I coordinate the efforts of all the volunteers.
You know, I spent 5 years, like I say, as an evangelical, and so I'm a little cloudy on exactly the timelining of this, when it happened, but I was there in my mid-20s, right? I mean, I had an early, praise God, faith conversion after a mm-hmm. very tumultuous time in my teens and early 20s, but I had a early conversion in my mid-20s, and by my my mid to late 20s, I was very active as an evangelical, but it almost seemed like, I mean, to me, you know, looking back now, 20-some years ago, it seems like it was almost instantaneous that I was plugged into that church, right? They looked at me and said, hey, we got a place for you, right? We got something you
Absolutely.
Can do.
Absolutely, and that's what they do well.
Yeah.
You know, once you make that commitment, they have a place for you, and that's what we try to do at Nativity. And Leo, that's so interesting. I don't know your story, but you shared a little bit of it, and that's what we do a lot at Nativity is we share stories. And, you know, being raised Catholic and going to Catholic Mass every weekend, because that's what we do. In college, I was more introduced to a more charismatic mm-hmm. movement
sure.
within the Catholic Church, and I was involved in the Catholic Student Center on campus. And a shout-out to Father Tom Kalita. He was a young priest at the time and did a great job introducing us to the person of Jesus Christ. And that was so exciting. And from there, very active during college. But then I graduated from college, you know, went to my parish, and I just wasn't being fed in the way that I needed to be. And I think that's very typical people's stories. So I kind of fell away. It's a sad, sad story of just not having a place. I could never leave my Catholic faith. That's just, it's just part of who you are. But yet, I wasn't connecting. So Nativity is just, as you speak of it, is just this beautiful combination that we can really honor our faith traditions and yet still really be fed and learn how to have that personal relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's so exciting. I just sometimes I have to pinch myself. I've only been on staff since last August, so it'll be 2 years this August. Well, yeah, and I come from a business background, so not church world.
Wow.
And to be part of this is very exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's I'm wondering, and maybe you have a little bit of information on this, because Rebuilt's been out there now for, what, 3 years or so?
I think it's four. Yep.
Four. Mm-hmm. 4 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Goodness, time flies. So,
yeah, it's going on four.
Yeah, that makes sense now. So, how many, or do you know, or you may not have the stat on this, but how many other parishes are at least trying to do some of this? Because you guys have seen tremendous success. You had 400 or so in a dwindling parish community, and you more than quadrupled that, right, from what I gather?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The growth seems to be steady, and at times a little frightening on the weekends. We're so crowded on the weekends, but it makes for such a beautiful environment. So, yeah, the growth has been phenomenal. And when it comes to other parishes kind of looking at what we do and hopefully being inspired by what we're doing, that movement is growing considerably, too. We have our Rebuilt Parish Association, which is a new online support for other parishes, and we have quite a few that from all across the country that are connected there, and we're trying to support them in their efforts to revitalize their parishes. So, yeah, it's a great movement and very, very exciting.
Stephanie Downs is with us this afternoon. Stephanie is with Church of the Nativity up in Timonium, Maryland, the church that, of course, the book Rebuilt and the many resources from Rebuilt has grown out of. And so is there kind of a model or maybe a method that you have when it comes to at what point do you try to get someone plugged in and really using their gifts? Because that's what makes all the difference. When somebody really feels a sense of belonging and sense of purpose in that community, how do you identify that?
Well, you know, that is a great question, and we have a whole kind of strategic plan based around that because we really believe that every member we want to be involved in ministry.
Sure.
So if that's the case, how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
And that evolves as we get new ideas, but the simplest, most effective way is to ask.
Yeah.
I know that sounds...
How about that? That's crazy. Ask.
It sounds so crazy. But we could... Father White can say it over and over from the pulpit. Mm. We could have beautiful displays in the Great Hall and, you know, come serve, make it look as fun, and people will still walk by and just think, well, maybe that's not for me. And then it's amazing because I'll see someone, I'll just make eye contact, I'll go over and I'll say, hey, you know, what do you think about? They're like, me?
Yeah.
Really? I'm like, yeah, come on. So that personal invite, it's by far the most effective.
My wife and I were youth, well, she was officially the youth minister at our parish for about 5 years before our kids came along, and as a default, I was assistant youth minister, right? So we would stand in the narthex of our parish almost after every Mass. Again, we were a young couple without kids, and we did exactly that. We would kind of go, okay, you go there, I'm going to go here, and we would just approach kids who look like our demo, right? We assume they're
right.
Either middle school or high school. We say, hey, why don't you come join us? And we had such success with that. I would say almost never did we have someone flatly say no. And I would say it was about a 90% success rate that they would show up the following youth event. And,
right.
You know, we didn't catch them all. We didn't. We never had any intention of trying to get to all of them. There's no way we could, but we knew that we could be effective with two or three after every Mass. And, you know, we had a collective growth curve in our youth ministry as a result of that. And I think we forget just how powerful that personal connection can be. But my goodness, I mean, that's how I was introduced into the evangelical church with serving the way I did. Somebody had to approach me. Hey, what do you think about this? It was like,
Right. And the cool thing is, if you have teams, which we work really intentionally on building ministry teams, then everyone on that team is doing that.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, me, the director of adult ministry,
right.
But all the ministry leads are what we do, the invite and invest and invite.
No.
Where, you know, you might say hello to someone the one weekend, the next weekend say hello again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no rush, really.
Right.
It's just to build that rapport and to invite them into, you know, their next step,
mm-hmm.
which is we know service helps us grow closer to our Lord. So it is it's a fun and exciting thing. I come from a background of sales, so I'm pretty outgoing, and I don't have a problem asking. But there's nothing more satisfying than asking people to move forward in their faith and watching them actually transform. It is really amazing.
Yeah.
It is, to see it is to really just be a part of it. And the story that you hear, it's about Timonium Tim. You know, I don't know, in Rebuilt, everyone knows about Timonium Tim. This is a guy who's fallen away from the faith. He comes to church because he might feel guilty because he doesn't have his kids in a religious program, so he has to come. And then before you know it, and Tim's just hanging out in the cafe. He doesn't even go into the sanctuary yet.
Right.
But then he's listening to the message. Then he goes into the sanctuary. And then before you know it, he's serving on a ministry team. And before you know it, their family is just changed the trajectory of their life in faith. And that's so exciting. And to be a part of that is a real privilege.
Stephanie, great talking to you. We're out of time, unfortunately, but it's Rebuilt Church. What is it? The website?
Yes, it's the Rebuilt Parish Association.
Okay, we'll look for that online. Thank you so much. God bless you. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much, Leo Brown. Almost hour. God bless.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.